Congress does its constitutional process of laying money out for federal programs and departments, many of those issues have scientific and technical dimensions to them. My job is to help the oversight, the insight, and sometimes the foresight of the implications of those outlays of money. Most of GAO's work is done by letters of request from committees of Congress. And so a committee, let's say, that's working on environmental issues might ask us to do a study on something that has to do with an environmental impact. And so we would go and look at the various departments or programs and see what was going on and do a study. The phrase is performance audit on a department or agency, and then come back and explain to Congress what's going on. And sometimes we try and make recommendations toward improvement in the federal program. And so that's where it's important to have the scientific or engineering background on these various things.
I would think that you have more work now in that respect than you have before?
We do have an increasing array of work. When you think about the extent of science and technology's impact on society, the environment, the economy, just the information revolution that we've gone through, the concerns about cybersecurity and in the era of identity theft, even homeland security or defense systems, weapon systems, do they work well? Is their life cycle worthy of that sort of investment? What sort of science and engineering issues are and things like that?
It almost sounds like it's all sort of related to security. I mean, you brought up climate change, but climate and resource security is, of course, a major factor in for every country around the planet, sure, especially now. And then, of course, cybersecurity and defense. Is that where the majority of study goes now?
Security is indeed a big part of it. It's also just dealing with the general welfare of folks, the status of society, how things are going, the healthcare issues. There's many issues that we work on that indeed transcend the security domain alone, which itself, as you've pointed out, is quite large.
You have a broad job.
Yes.
Sounds like.
It is very broad.
Okay. Well, you're here to talk a little bit about nanotechnology. Is that correct?
Right.
What are you going to be speaking about?
So the talk this evening is going to be focusing on nanotechnology's transition out of the lab into the manufacturing sector. The United States is in the middle of what some would call a manufacturing renaissance, of making things and doing things. And in the meantime, we had invested between 2001 and 2014, now this fiscal year, $20 billion approximately in basic research and development funding on this program called the National Nanotechnology Initiative, or the NNI. Those sort of advances and innovations are now proliferating into the marketplace. And the question is, well, are they proliferating in a way that's responsible in terms of environment, safety, and health issues, which have been a concern about nanotechnology? Nano is just a scale term, meaning it's just a size. It means the 1/1,000,000th of a meter. It's 1/1,000th of the width of a hair. And so those things, when they are that small, they behave differently. Even materials that we would be familiar with, like aluminum, which we drink out of in cans and things like that. But at the nanoscale, it has a different behavior, and we want to make sure we understand toxicity and effects and things like that, in that environmental and human health, worker safety, and public safety sense. But there's also opportunities. Nanotechnology has tremendous impact or promise on various things, ranging from advanced concrete materials to the smartphones that we hold in our palm today, and making them smarter and more powerful and so on. So there's a very broad array of things that this touches, and so its implications on the environment, society, the economy, and so on are important, and that's why we did the study.
Can you give us a couple of examples of ways that nanotechnology can be used?
I mentioned the well-established nanotechnology dimension of just the semiconducting domain. So anytime you're using a computer or a smartphone or something like that, then you're using nanotechnology. It just you perhaps haven't thought of it in that domain. So that's well-established and well-known. Mm-hmm. Where you see it coming more and more is into materials. So it's being embedded in things to make them lighter or stronger and those sorts of issues. You have a particular type of nanoparticle is called carbon nanotube, very common, and they're used in producing tennis rackets, something you want to make lighter and you want to make stronger and you want to have higher performance. advanced clothing, things that have been looked at and are continuing to be looked at by the regulatory agencies in the federal government for environment, health, and safety issues.
What is your scientific background?
I did my work in physics and nuclear physics, and then I also did some graduate work in computer science, and then my dissertation was in biomedical engineering.
Does it help or hinder you to be a scientist? Do you feel like your job is political?
No, the good news is that GAO as an agency is indeed very nonpartisan and non-ideological, fact-based type entity. And we're quite proud of that. We work and endeavor all the time to focus on quality work that's nonpartisan. It's not a difficult job in terms of being a scientist in that regard. The challenge is often how to communicate complex scientific issues in accessible ways so that they're understandable, that the implications can be seen without diminishing the science or oversimplifying the essence of where we are, what some issue is.
Do you feel like congressional members listen?
I think they do. I think that's a well-established relationship that our agency has had with the Congress, working very closely with them for many decades now. They see us as a trusted resource, and they utilize our work, and at times they'll invite us, for example, to Capitol Hill and serve as a witness just to speak into an issue and let them know what our work has said about that. Our scores that they give us back, our feedback often are quite good. So we're happy with that, and we want to work and maintain that.
As far as compiling some of these reports and investigations, is it basically a compilation of work that has already been done, or is there new research that's created out of what you investigate, what you're trying to put together?
There are times where we're building off of a past body of work. On the other hand, there are times when something completely new is asked of us, and we just start the process of doing that until such a time as Congress's interest and the national interest shifts away from that, or the problem is solved, hopefully, something like that. So there is a mix of building upon past work, but we always try and do a little bit, even in the case of having past work, trying to build a little bit more and add more updated information, more clarifying information, those sorts of things.
And thanks for being here. So,
thanks. It's a delight to be at a university of this caliber and to be interacting with the array of folks that are here.